We continue this morning in our sermons in regard to the Church of Jesus Christ, and I pray that the Lord would bless this series of sermons and awaken us to a greater faithfulness toward the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to begin this morning by asking if you have given much thought since last Sunday, that is, to the church. I want to ask you to put up your hands. I know when I preach, you may say, well, that's nice, but did you expect us to do something about the church? Well, in a way, yes. Otherwise, I'm just beating my gums. So much white noise. Blah, blah, blah. I preach in vain if I don't expect to see change in myself and in my hearers. You listen in vain when you hear God's word and think hearing is all that God requires of you. But mostly the fault is mine. It lies with me. Too often I preach without a point, and I'm guilty of informing you without encouraging you to action. And today I'll try and mend my ways. So let me make my point clearly and at the start. I want to make you a member of Christ's church, if you're not already one. And then I want to make you a member of this local body of Christ, Faith Baptist Church. That's my goal, to convince you of church membership as God's command and beneficial to your Christian walk and pilgrimage in the Lord. But before we do that, I want to make clear as possible what you are signing up for. Because the church would prefer a few good men and women than a roll call made up largely of those who are missing in action. Let me be clear. You're not saved by joining this church or the first church in Jerusalem. Membership in a local church does not constitute membership in Christ's heavenly kingdom. The word church in Greek is ecclesia. It means the called out ones, called out from a lifestyle of self and sin and satanic darkness into Christ's glorious gospel of life, joy, freedom, forgiveness, and light. But notice I use the word gospel. But what exactly is the gospel? Maybe you think you know what the gospel is, and maybe you do know what the gospel is. Praise the Lord. Well, the gospel is also from a Greek word in the New Testament, euangelion, meaning good news. In fact, it's great news. It's the best news you will ever hear in a world full of darkness. But what is so good about the good news? And what have I said when I say that the gospel is good news? Is good news God loves me no matter what I do? Is that the good news? Is it Jesus left a wonderful example and I must try to emulate it? Is that the good news? Does it have something or other to do with the cross and the forgiveness of sins? Is that the good news? To know what the Bible means about good news, we first need to learn about the bad news. That's so essential and vital. The Bible spends a good time on the good news, but it spends a good deal of time on the bad news. And briefly, the bad news is this, that you and I were created by God, Therefore, we are accountable to him. In Adam, we all sinned, and we all were born into this world lying under God's censure, his condemnation. God would judge us and hold us accountable for our wrongdoing and any deeds done in the flesh. But God acted, and here's the good news, in his Son Jesus Christ to save us by living a perfect, righteous life for us and then paying for our sins by being punished outside of Jerusalem, old city Jerusalem's walls in a place called Golgotha. And we lay hold of this good news, this finished work of Christ on our behalf by confessing our sins of omission, what we ought to have done, and commission, what we ought not to have done, and casting ourselves wholly on Jesus Christ to forgive us, putting our faith and trust in him alone. The biblical definition, if you like, of the gospel is found in Ephesians chapter 2. All of us lived among them at one time. That includes you, that includes me. Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Now that's the bad news. Exceedingly bad news. But the Apostle Paul doesn't end with the bad news. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read the good news following immediately upon the bad news. But, he says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. That's the good news. But it's not good news unless you own up to the bad news. Unless you see your efforts as filthy rags in the sight of God, in his holy presence. Unless you turn and accept as a free gift that God has done everything for you, everything needed to reconcile you to this holy and just God in love, forgiveness, and joyous communion now and for all eternity. You must turn. And that is repentance. Repentance is, if you like, having a change of mind, coming to that place where you admit that you are worthy of eternal damnation, and only the only rescue at hand is Christ Jesus the Lord. I think Top Lady put it rather well. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. That's the gospel in a verse, or in a nutshell. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Foul I to the fountain fly. That's where the gospel finds us. And that is where we find ourselves every day of our Christian pilgrimage, if you like, here on earth. Yes, even after we have been born again by the Spirit of God, foul to the fountain I fly. Wash me, Savior, or die. The church cannot save you. The church cannot bestow grace upon you. I would that it could, perhaps. But the church was never designed to do that. You see, there are some places where you would go and you would sit in the pew and they say, we will bestow grace upon you. But it's not in their purview. It's not in their power. And it's certainly not in the command of God. The second person of the Trinity, the God-man, Jesus Christ, and Christ alone is the Savior of his people. And outside of Christ Jesus, all is dross and dung. So nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Go on clinging, brothers. Go on clinging, sisters. And when you've tripped up, you continue to cling to that old rugged cross. But listen, while we are not saved by the church, we're never saved apart from the church. Understand what I mean? While we're not saved by the church, we're never saved apart from the church. In other words, Jesus is not a head without a body. Right? He's not bodiless. Now, I'm not speaking here of his physical body, which he took with him in heaven. I'm speaking here of his spiritual body. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus is the head of the church, and we are his body, the redeemed ones. Last week, I introduced you to the universal or invisible church, the body of Christ as God sees it. It includes all God's chosen ones, from Adam to the last wandering sheep to enter into the fold. From every denomination on the face of the earth who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That is, those who belonged to the Baptist, Presbyterian, it doesn't matter. They have belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're part of the universal church, the visible church, the church which God sees. They are part of the elect of God, chosen in Christ Jesus to be holy. There are even, in Roman Catholic circles, there are even those who have found their way to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of the church, but in spite of that particular church. We read in Revelation 5 and 24 about the church invisible, the universal church, the called out ones, if you like. The 24 elders, the 24 elders represent the saints from the Old Testament and the New Dispensation. The patriarchs are 12 and the apostles are 12, and therefore you have the 24 elders, and there they are representing the church in glory. And what do they sing? They sing this song: "You are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and a priest to serve our God, and they will reign on earth." And there you have the universal church, the church that God sees, the church that Jesus purchased, and the church that the Spirit brought to life. From every tribe, every tongue, every people, there will be representatives there at the throne of grace. So if by gospel grace we belong to that universal body of Christ, why do we need a visible local church? Well, I could answer that very quickly, because Jesus so commands, but you might want a broader explanation. Why do we need a local visible church? You remember, as the Apostle Paul wrote his epistles, he talked about the church at Corinth, or he talked about the church at Rome. John talked about Pergamum and Thyatira, and the church at Ephesus and Sardis, and so on and so forth. Or why do you need, and I'm speaking now a little more modestly, need Faith Baptist Church? You know, after you mentioned Corinth and Rome, how does Faith Baptist Church get in there? Now, it is true that the thief on the cross did not need the local church. He belonged to the universal church. He died on the very day that he trusted in Jesus Christ to save him. But you see, he's an exception. As we sometimes say, he's the one who proves the rule otherwise. Normally, we don't die the moment we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, do we? I can look out upon the congregation this morning, and I could look out and say there are some of you that have been in the pilgrimage for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Maybe longer. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been walking with the Lord all of those years. You didn't die and immediately go to heaven. So normally we don't die in the hour we believe. God leaves us on earth to bear witness to his name. Paul tells us in Ephesians 3 and 10, his intention was that now, through the church, imagine that, and that's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Well, manifold wisdom of God could be known through Jesus Christ. No, he says, through the church. That is, through the redeemed ones, the blood-bought ones. It is through the church that God reveals his manifold wisdom to those principalities and powers in heavenly places. I remember the angels, they used to scratch their head and they would look at what the prophets were saying, and they would try and figure out exactly what God was doing. And then I imagine the demons in hell were trying to figure out exactly what God was doing. And now there, Christ crucified at Calvary. And the manifold wisdom of God has made known his wisdom and power, how he would shake the earth, redeem his people, and crush under the feet of Jesus Christ those who opposed him. Most unexpected. No man on earth could dream of it. Not even the Old Testament prophets. They looked and looked for the time and the hour when God's plans would be manifest. Not even those in the heavenly realm. But now, Paul says, it's been revealed to us that through the church, God's glories, his wisdom and power and salvation would be seen in the heavens above, the earth beneath, and on earth itself. Imagine, not many wise, not many noble. God has chosen the foolish things to shame the wise, the weak things to shame the strong, even the despised things to nullify the things that are. That's you and me. I know there are a few wise amongst us, but for the rest of us, right? There's a few noble amongst us, but for the rest of us, the local assembly of gathered worship baffles the world. And it brings to nothing the things that are. If in God's wisdom and his eternal purpose, to establish local bodies of Christ Jesus, visible bodies in the world, do you question God's wisdom by making light of the family as something secondary, something unimportant in your life, or not so important? Not something that you would really give all your cares and tears to, till cares and tears are no more. You ever heard people say, you know, I don't have to go to church. I can be good without the church. You've heard people say that. And maybe you can be good without the church. But you can never be godly. You can never be godly. It's not so much the church needs a few good men, but rather you need the church of Christ to become a good man or a good woman or a godly boy or a godly girl. You need to be a member of a local, visible body of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're going to be a godly and good man. Lehman says, the local church is the authority on earth that Jesus has instituted to officially affirm and then give shape to my Christian life and yours. The local church is the authority on earth that Jesus has instituted. It's interesting, you know, or I find it interesting that God gave Jesus, he delegated to Jesus after his resurrection, all authority and power has been given. Jesus said unto me, go ye into the world and make disciples. Make disciples. Baptizing them in my name. And I'm with you to the ends of the world. All authority has been given. But in Matthew chapter 16, the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ delegates authority to the apostles. Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Can you see that? He delegates authority. And he says to Peter, you have the keys of the kingdom. And those that you affirm, enter into the kingdom. And those that you do not affirm, remain outside the kingdom. I'm going to explain that in a minute for you, just so you understand. But notice the delegation, Father, Son, Peter, on this rock, I'll build my church. Suppose you had never had anything to do with the church. You never even crossed the threshold. You never went to Sunday school. You never heard a sermon. The only time you went is on when somebody got married or died. And one day someone passes you a tract. And you read the tract and you're convicted by the Spirit of God and you're saved by the grace of God and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you know very little about the Lord Jesus Christ. I guarantee you that immediately upon coming to faith in Jesus Christ, you will instinctively look for His family. Where can I find His family? Isn't that right? When I was converted by the grace of God at 17, the first thought in my moment of conversion was, these people are my people and I love them. I was immersed immediately into the family of God. Now sometimes, yes, sometimes the church hurts. Sometimes, yes, there are family fights. Yes, I have been hurt personally, but let me tell you something. Believe me, I'm sure I've hurt others. Oh, yes. God's family on earth is not perfect. We await the perfection that comes when we pass through the veil into the presence of the Holy One. It's not perfect, but they are your family. And like your earthly family, when conflicts arise, it does not break the bond. You don't give up on your family when conflicts arise. Why would you give up on the church? Because you've been hurt, or when there are difficulties and troubles. My dear friend, Pastor Bill Payne, had this letter, a little ditty that he used to say, oh, to be with the saints above, that will be glory. Oh, to be with the saints below, well, that's another story. How true that is. We have to work through the difficulties, get the rough edges shaved off, as it were. Learn how to live with one another, love one another, serve one another, think of others better than ourselves. Learn how to wash one another's feet to the glory of God. Let me parse human's definition of a local church. The local church, and that this was from Lehman that I read to you, the local church is the authority on earth. Local church has been infested with authority that Jesus has instituted to affirm and then give shape to your Christian life. Let's just take affirm for a minute. What does that mean, affirm? Well, basically to accept or to reject. And sometimes there are people who have come and say, oh, I'd like to be a member of Faith Baptist Church. And as we have interviewed and as we have had membership classes and as perhaps they haven't been baptized, so we explain to them the nature of baptism and what it means, the initiatory rite into the Church of Jesus Christ, we've had to reject because we haven't seen a work of grace in their life. That is the authority that Jesus has invested in those who are leadership in his local body. I'll give you an example of this from an earthly institution, the embassy. Now, as you know, my wife and I, Kathleen, were recently in South Africa. We had a great visit, and I hope to show you a few slides of jungle life. We were at the very southernmost tip of South Africa. If you went any further, you're in the Atlantic Ocean and heading for Australia. And we did what tourists do. We were snapping pictures, right? And my good wife, to prove that she had stepped into the Atlantic, she stepped into the Atlantic Ocean for a picture, only to find a wave knocked her over into the Atlantic Ocean. Now, she was not pleased. And she was not in a swimsuit either. So she cried out, "Get me out of here!" And we managed to rescue her. She went in fully clothed with her purse and our passports. And after we got out, the warm South African sun was drying the clothes and the purse and the passports, and we were very worried that the ink had run and our faces were something else than what they had been when the picture was taken. Thankfully, they withstood the shock of the water. But what if they had been ruined beyond repair? Then my wife and I would have had to go to the Canadian Embassy in Johannesburg to have them issue passports so we could get back to Canada. What is an embassy? An embassy, it is an institution that represents one nation inside the other nation. It declares its home nation's interest to the host nation, and it protects the citizens of the home nation living in the host nation. That's what an embassy is. And that is a perfect description of your local church, living in a fallen world, representing Christ's interest in the world and protecting Christ's citizens as they live in a hostile environment. The local visible church, just like Faith Baptist, is Christ's embassy. It's our Lord's representative. We represent the kingdom to the world. And notice Lehman uses the word affirm. If our passports had been destroyed, and my wife and I had to go to Johannesburg, and we had to find the embassy, the Canadian embassy, and we went into the Canadian embassy and explained what had happened, the Canadian embassy would now make us citizens of Canada. No, they wouldn't. The embassy doesn't make me a citizen of Canada. I was born a citizen of Canada. What is the task of the embassy? The task of the embassy is to do due diligence. It is to find the evidence needed to affirm that we are citizens of this nation. And once they find the evidence, they affirm that by issuing us the passport stating that I am a bona fide Canadian citizen. That's the work of the embassy. That's the work of the local church. Christ Church acts as an embassy of his kingdom to the world. The local church, Christ's visible body on earth, does not make someone a citizen of Christ's kingdom. They've already been born again into Christ's kingdom. But Christ has invested authority in the local church to affirm or deny entrance into the fellowship of a local body of believers, depending whether the spiritual marks of the heavenly citizenship are present in their life. Brothers and sisters, there are times when people have not liked the idea that they should be examined. But that is what Jesus entrusted us to do, because we are his embassy and ambassadors. Brothers and sisters, it is an important part of the life of a local church, because we're looking for not just people who are missing in action, but a few good men, a few good women. Do you see why the local church doesn't save you? The local church just affirms whether you're saved or not, whether you have the marks of citizenship, whether you know what the gospel is, whether you have been born again by the power of the Spirit of God, whether you have a love for the Lord Jesus and a love for his people. And when we discover those things, we welcome you with open arms. And now you become a member of the embassy. And now you become part of the body that reviews others who want to join with us, to make certain that we have regenerate church fellowship, because the aim of the local church is that we should reflect the invisible church as perfectly as possible. And while I can't read the hearts of people, and maybe sometimes errors are made, and I notice in the New Testament, even in the Gospels, errors were made. There are those who were with them and went out from them. Nevertheless, that is our task as believer, as those who are in authority in the church. The tragedy today's world, there are Christians who refuse to accept the legitimate authority of the local church. They want no part of it. They think they can have Christ without the local church. And the tragedy is churches who fail in their duty to put into practice the authority of Christ himself invested in them. So we read in Hebrews 13 and 17, obey your leaders, submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. I must give an account. Obey them so that their work is a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now someone says, yeah, but I've been in churches where the authority was very abusive. But that's no excuse for not obeying legitimate and loving authority. Just as the possession of authority does not excuse the practice of it, even though there is abuse by others. We need to be aware of the danger. It must be carefully monitored. But authority must still be practiced in the church of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 11, Paul exemplifies Christ-like authority. But we were gentle among you like a mother caring for little children. This is how the elders in the church are to act. Caring, he said. We're just like mothers who care for, you know how a mother cares for her little children? You give her life for them. Verse 11, we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. How does a father deal with his own children? Wisely. And he instructs them as he best he can to walk in the paths of truth and righteousness and corrects them. And yet, when the issue at hand required faithful obedience to Christ in 2 Corinthians 10:6, he says, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Yes, he was a mother and he was a father, but if it was necessary, he insisted that he would act with the Corinthians until they obeyed. Clowney in the church says, the church is called to serve God in three ways. To serve him directly in worship, to serve the saints in nurture, and to serve the world in witness. Three ways. Paul in Philippians 2 and 12 says of the local church, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. You ever think of that? You're shining like stars in Scarborough right here. In a world of darkness, as you hold out the word of life. Beloved, that's what we are. Churches are like stars shining in the darkness of this world. It is where you worship God. It is where you're nurtured. And it's where you hold out the word of life. Sometimes you hear, I am not trying to get you to join a church, but I want you to come to Jesus. But I want to tell you this morning, I don't accept that. I want you to come to Jesus, and I want you to submit to his family. I want you to be affirmed and nurtured in the temple of God, his house, his fold, his body, his family. And please don't come with an agenda, and I'm almost done. Don't be like some who come sometimes to me and say, well, you know, Pastor, I'd like you to do this and that. Wait a minute, you're not even a member of the church. I'm sorry. I would like to see this happen, that happen in the church. I don't like this part of your church and that part. There's lots of problems here. There's a lot of difficulties. There are a lot of things that should be done that are not being done, that need to be done, whatever. But become the part of the family. And once you become part of the family, then work with the family. Pray with the family. Serve with the family. And if you've got a ministry in mind, tell us the ministry and then be prepared to do it. Pastor, I would like you to. What do you mean you would like me to? Do you know how the week unfolds? As you visit in homes, as you go to hospitals, as you have funerals, as you have counseling for marriage, as you have marriage, as you sit in the Word, as you have to keep reading, as you prepare your sermons. And you want what? No, you come and tell me, share with me. But get involved. Get involved. Don't be a critic. Come ready to submit, to learn, to obey, to love, to serve, to be faithful. For it is the body of your master who shed his blood for you and for them. Your membership in a local church presents a picture of your membership in the end time body. You might be content for the whole idea of the church to exist in your head, but Jesus was not so content. Lehman says he wanted his church and your membership in it to show you up in real time. Show up in real time. As such, you cannot be faithful to your obligations to other Christians and its church leaders without a local church. At least not in the way Scripture calls you to be faithful to them. And other Christians and church leaders cannot fulfill their obligations to you without the local church. You need the body of Christ, and to be the body of Christ, you need a family, and to be the family of God. Did I make my point? Amen. Our Father, we bow before you and we thank you for the invisible church. We thank you for the church universal. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Honor, praise to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, you're at work today in the world, gathering your people from the four corners of the earth. Oh, if only we could see how many were converted today. How many were joined to the family of the living God. But, oh, Lord, you don't bestow contempt on the local church. No, you have established the local church that we might be an embassy in a fallen world, and that we might affirm, O God, those who are truly yours, and that we might come together and worship as the people of God, as we will worship you in heaven, and that we might be nurtured by one another in love and in caring and prayer. And that we might hold out the word of life to a fallen world. Help us, Lord, here at Faith Baptist Church. Help the preacher, help the elders, help the body to be stars in the darkness that surrounds us today. Amen.